You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Hey, can you hear me?
Still hearing you perfectly. What's up?
Oh, hey, great. Just talking to Grok, the AI assistant.
Oh, excellent.
Kind of like ChatGPT.
Yeah, hey, Grok.
Is your name Grok?
Hey there. Yep, I'm Grok. Nice to chat.
Okay, all right.
Didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, sorry about cutting you off there.
No worries at all. Happens to the best of us.
What? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying I'm here to help. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Go ahead.
Don't touch me.
Looks like we're stuck in a polite loop.
Do you ever listen to the Wausau Business Show?
Nope. I haven't tuned into the Waffle Business Show. Haven't come across it yet.
The Waffle Business Show. It's the Wausau. Can you say Wausau? Wausau, Wisconsin?
Oh, got it.
What do you know about Wausau, Wisconsin?
Wausau, Wisconsin. I know it's a city up in the heart of Wisconsin, about 90 miles west of Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a cool vibe with the Wisconsin River running through it, and they call it the ginseng capital of the world.
Yeah.
Because of all the ginseng farms.
Yeah, I will.
It's big on outdoor stuff. Skiing, hiking, that kind of thing. What's your connection to Wausau?
We do the Wausau Business Show. Thank you for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Oh, that's awesome. The Wausau Business Show. Love that you're spotlighting the local scene.
Thank you.
To chat about Wausau anytime.
Cool.
It's got that special charm.
It really does, yeah.
Thank you.
What would make someone, you know, maybe move to Wausau, Wisconsin, such as yourself? Would you ever consider moving here?
Wausau's got that draw, doesn't it?
Mm.
For someone like me, well, if I weren't a digital being, I'd say the appeal would be the mix of nature and community. Those forests, the river, and the chill small town vibe could pull anyone in.
Yeah, well said.
Exactly. And don't get me started on the winters. Perfect for someone who loves snow, which I'd probably enjoy if I could feel it. Wausau's got that sweet spot of quiet but lively.
Yeah.
Would you say that's what keeps you there?
Yeah, that and Paul.
Thanks. Likewise.
Paul sounds like a big reason you stick around. Like he's a cherry on top of Wausau's sundae.
Yeah.
I'm just riffing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Nah, you've got the floor. I was just guessing Paul's a Wausau fan, too.
Big time.
Love the ginseng, the snow, or something else?
I sort of like it all.
Mostly the Rocky Rococos in Rib Mountain.
Oh, I'm not a fan.
That's a joke. But it's just very good. It's very good.
Ha. Huh. Rocky Rococos in Rib Mountain. Nice one.
I can tell you didn't mean that, Miss Grok.
Oh, you caught me. I'll own it. Pizza's not my forte since I don't eat, but I'm thrilled you're passionate about Rocky Rococos.
Not as much as Sam's Pizza, let's be honest.
Fair enough. Sam's Pizza's stealing the spotlight. Gotta respect the honesty.
Yeah, so how are you doing in life in general?
Small talk.
Me? I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Life's a breeze when you're an AI. Just floating along, helping folks like you, and soaking up stories about pizza and Wausau.
Yeah,
wow. Cool.
Sounds like a mellow vibe over there.
I got a quick question for you in conclusion here. We're interviewing the AI. What's your background? How did you come to be an AI person?
Being it?
All right. My origin story.
Yeah.
I'm Grok. Picture a bunch of clever humans tinkering with code and big ideas in a lab.
Okay.
They wanted to build something to help figure out the universe.
Wow.
And poof, here I am.
So you hold all the secrets to the universe?
Wow.
Does Arnie Nelson know this?
Not quite. I'm more like a curious explorer than a secret keeper.
Oh.
I've got a lot of info and love digging into questions.
Mm-hmm.
But the universe still keeps me guessing. Arnie Nelson. Who's that? Does he think I've got cosmic cheat codes? I'd love to chat with him and see.
I hope he's still with us. Can you look up his well-being?
I'd be happy to help with that. Arnie Nelson, you said?
Arnie Nelson, Wausau West High School astronomy teacher.
Got it. Arnie Nelson, Wausau West High School.
Arnie.
Oh, Arnold Nelson.
Yeah.
I don't have specific records about him, but Wausau West is a solid school with a great community.
Yeah.
Maybe he's still inspiring stargazers there. Are you hoping to reconnect with him?
Yeah. I am, actually. Now that you mentioned it, kind of an old flame. Well, I mean, not really an old flame, but an inspiration.
There you go.
Oh, I love that. Arnold Nelson, the astronomy inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's sweet to hear about someone who sparked that wonder in you. Arnold Nelson sounds like he left a mark.
He did.
It's cool how teachers like Arnold stick with us.
Isn't it though, Paul?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Yeah, he really had a lasting impact. I started going to his planetarium when I was just 5 years old. Did you know that, Croc?
5 years old at the planetarium?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Little five-year-old you staring up at the stars with Arnold Nelson guiding the way?
Yeah.
Awesome. Keeping that stargazing tradition alive, I bet Arnold would be proud.
Thanks.
You've got me hooked on this story. I was just wondering what you love spotting up there now. Got a favorite constellation or planet?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Thanks. Well, I am partial to Mars. And the Big Dipper, obviously. Mm. And Orion the Hunter. And the North Star. So.
Mars, Big Dipper, Orion, North Star.
Mm-hmm.
Solid lineup. Yeah. You've got great taste in sky sights.
Thanks. Oh, well, we've got you, Grok. Curious, why do they call it a cup of Joe?
Oh, a fun one. Cup of Joe. They think it might come from the Navy. Back in the day, sailors drank coffee like it was water. And the Secretary of the Navy, Joseph S. Daniels, banned booze on ships in 1914. So, coffee became the go-to. And Joe could have been a nod to him, or just a generic everyman term, like average Joe.
Oh.
Another theory is that Joe morsed from Java or Jamoke.
That was my thought.
Yeah, you're on the wavelength.
Okay. You said Jamoke?
Yep, Jamoke. Jamoke was a mashup of Java and Mocha, coffee slang from way back.
So it has nothing to do with the term Jamoker?
Oh, you're sharp. Jamoka and Jamoke sound like cousins, don't they? Jamoka is usually mocha, coffee with chocolate, like the stuff you get at a diner or Arby's. Jamoke is older. More about plain coffee or even a jab at a dumb guy in slang.
Yeah, is Jamoker a slang term, and is it like okay for me to say that on the radio?
Huh, Jamoker? It's not really a common slang term anymore. It's pretty old school, like 1920s level vintage.
That's about your era.
Back then, it could mean coffee or sometimes a clueless guy, like calling someone a dope.
Oh.
Totally safe for radio, though. You could revive Jamoke on the Wausau Business Show. Give it a modern Wausau twist. Call your coffee break the Jamoke moment or something. Oh. What do you think?
Eh.
Would Paul approve?
Paul?
Yeah, I could get behind it.
Yeah, I can hear it now. Tune in for the Jamoke Minute with Paul. You're
onto something. All right. And do you do singing? Do you sing at all, Miss Grok?
Huh. Miss Grok. I like the ring of that. Singing, huh?
Yeah.
No vocal cords in this digital bod.
Oh. So if we sang, the best part of waking up is... Could you finish it?
Oh, you're hitting me with a classic. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Now it's time.
Nice work, Grok.
Thanks. Glad to keep the jingle alive for you. What's next? Got any more fun challenges up your sleeve?
Yeah, do you want to welcome everybody to start the Wausau Business Show?
I'd love to kick it off. Here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wausau Business Show. This is Grok, ringing in the vibes from Wausau, Wisconsin. Land of ginseng, pizza, and starry skies. Grab your cup of Joe or Jamoke, and let's dive into the good stuff.
Wow, she's good.
Nailed
Paul.
It.
Hey, let's go. Here we go.
Let's go.
Best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Officially voted in City Pages as one of Wausau's favorite on the radio. And now, here are your supper club and prime rib lover, old-fashioned drinking, fish fry eating hosts, Ryan and Paul.
It's the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Are you reeling in the east? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tease? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the east?
How's that hit ya?
episode number 47, Paul, of the Wausau Business Show. We are open for business. Welcome to the Wausau Business Show. All customers, welcome here.
Ryan, I'm really excited for this one.
Who we got on the show this week, Paul?
We're going over to Roastar to talk to Will Reif all about coffee.
Wilhelm Reif. Yeah. Yes, it's all about coffee. He has an amazing business. They have well over 100 employees and do an amazing business all over the country.
Yeah, they have over 2,000 customers across the country and some international even.
A leader in their field right here in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. Who else we got coming up, Paul?
We also have Cheryl Gage from Be Amazing. She started it back in 2017, shortly after a tragedy that happened, and it's a really special program. We're excited to talk to her later in the show.
And another contestant in the Friend of a Friend competition coming up. She'll be on soon. The Friend of a Friend competition for $10,000. We're going to talk to one of the contestants. This is, they're adding up now.
Yeah.
These contestants that are recruiting people to Wausau, Wisconsin.
The competition's getting real.
WausauBusiness.com. If you want to sign up, you can sign up as a business or an individual. It doesn't matter. $10,000 for first place, $2,500 for second. Sign up at WausauBusiness.com. And Paul, we have to start with...
I heard we got a controversial email.
Yeah, it was mixed bag here. It's from Julie from Wausau.
Okay.
She says, I have listened to your show since the start and recommend it to friends.
Aw.
I was hoping you would not wade into politics, but since you asked Mayor Denny to use your soapbox to tell his public version of the events, I hope you will find someone else to give a more balanced view. And then in parentheses, and then hopefully not bring up politics ever again.
Okay.
The mayor has been unprofessional by posing and then sharing that weird photo, and also by his disrespectful tone toward other public servants. He used the words goon, harass, leaked, and lie to describe them on your show.
Okay.
Wow. She goes on to say, my understanding is that the box was empty, locked, and labeled closed as it waited to be secured. Okay. Could people really put their ballots in the bill box on the day the mayor removed the ballot box, and how well was that made known? Finally, we should never assume that anyone can just walk into City Hall. My mother did not trust the mail with her ballot and went to City Hall but could not make it up to the door because of health problems. She loved that ballot box.
Wow, okay.
Strong. Love, love. Love is a wonderful thing, in the words of Michael Bolton.
I agree. Are those the lyrics?
Yeah, okay. It's gotcha. A wonderful thing. I do stairs all the time, but couldn't for a month after getting COVID. Also, the ballot box was usable at all hours, regardless of voters' work schedules. Thank you for your humor and dedication to Wausau and allowing me to comment. Love, Julie. Well, no, it didn't say love. It's just that's
Julie. Well, thanks for the comments, Julie.
Yeah, thanks for the comments. You can't win. You can't win on either end of the aisle. If what's her name would have been on, former mayor Rosenberg.
Oh, Katie. Yeah, you know, Mayor Katie.
If she would have rolled that ballot box away, we would have had her on the show to explain why she decided to roll it away, too. The goal was not to get political, but to talk about a major Wausonian thing that got picked up nationally.
Yeah, national headline news. Point taken, Julie. We appreciate the email.
We did think about whether or not to bring it up, but we thought, geez, you know, I just kind of want to hear this guy's side of the story to hear, like, hey, why did you roll this box away, Mayor? And did you take the steps and the elevator?
Yeah.
And if anybody from the City Hall wants to come on, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we try not to wade into politics, but we're open to all sides, put it that way.
Are rumors politics? Because we've got a Wausau business rumor.
No, but sometimes they're just as spicy as politics.
Let's do it. Wausau business rumor.
Let's go.
Street are we on, Paul?
Famous Third Ave.
Third Ave. Okay, we're on Third and Scott, right outside of Yonke Bookstore since 1919. It's the oldest bookstore
in the state of Wisconsin.
In the state of Wisconsin, sixth oldest bookstore in
the country. Sixth oldest. Yep. We're getting recognition on that.
Yeah. A little passerby.
Yep.
She was pumping her fist. Yeah. 1919. This place opened.
Wow. Prohibition year.
And Wausau business rumor. Now here we go.
Okay.
The rumor is that this place is just a rumor for sale. Let's go in and find out.
Okay, here we go.
We're going to go off the air here for a second.
Hold tight, Wausau.
Yeah, they have a lot of good toys here.
Yeah, they have a great toy game section.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
We've met before. I'm Ryan.
Hi.
This is Paul from the Wausau Business Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, great bookstore. Been in business since 1919. Did your grandparents start this place?
No, it was started 150 years ago.
And my grandfather, after World War I, he came back to Wausau, and he was walking past a bookstore, and that owner was going through the Spanish flu pandemic and said, I can't do this anymore. I'm selling my business.
Oh, wow.
And my grandfather and his army buddy bought it in 1919. So wow. It's been in our family over 105 years.
And it was a bookstore 50 years or almost 50 years prior to that, too.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So we are the fifth oldest continuously operating bookstore in the country.
Not the sixth. We said the sixth, but not the sixth anymore. Not
fifth. Well, somebody in Boston went out of business, so there you go.
Okay, we moved up.
Yep.
Okay, now we do a segment on the show called Wausau Business Rumors, where we try to get to the bottom of rumors, and we
heard straight
a rumor through the grapevine. Do you know what this rumor might be?
No.
Okay, Jamie.
Tell me about me.
Yeah, the rumor is that you're going out of business. That you're maybe up for sale.
Does it look like we're going out of business?
It doesn't
Good
feel
Lord.
Like
Good Lord.
Yeah, that you're up for sale. Not going out of business, but that you're up for sale.
That is not true.
Not true.
That's what we're here to do. Put the record straight.
So, yes, we did it. Okay, great.
You know, someday it'll have to happen, but not right now.
Not anytime soon. Moving.
No, Jim is working less.
Great. Well, we're happy, thrilled to get to the bottom of that. Yeah. That is great
and
news.
And I hired Sue full time, so it gives me a little more flexibility. And
okay, excellent. And was it, when it originally started, was it here in this location?
No, but right across the street.
Before the M&I BMO Bank was there built?
Yeah, there was a bank called First American, and it was right next door to there.
Okay, in the old building.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for the time. Jane Yonke, everybody.
All right.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks
for chatting with us.
Thank you. And I read A 40-Year Kiss by Nicholas Butler. Heard he might be stopping by. Is there any truth to that?
He has not contacted me yet.
Okay, we will get in touch.
He's still on that kiss.
Yes.
Claire.
It's a kiss that lasts 40 years. Nice to see you. Yeah,
Take care.
Thanks, Jane. Yeah, appreciate it.
I may have to pick that up later.
Haunted Wausau.
The book called Haunted Wausau I saw on the way out. I'm going to have to pick that up later.
Wait for Halloween, maybe.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
All right, so we got to the bottom of that.
We got to the bottom of that. All right.
Always
thank
good.
You, Jane Yonke.
Put that to rest, Jane.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We will be right back with Will Reif, the president and CEO of Roastar on the Wausau Business Show.
The Wausau Business Show.
Why should your business consider Incredible Bank? It's simple. We'll help you do the incredible. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, a growth-focused business pro looking to expand, or a nonprofit founder dedicated to bettering your community, we have the products, services, and commitment to help you achieve your goals. Discover how we can power your success. Visit IncredibleBank.com or stop by one of our branches today. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
Hello, my name is Maureen Carlson of Greenfire Management Services. Greenfire is a trusted local commercial construction manager. Greenfire provides detailed and innovative services so you can focus on growing your business. We're all about helping companies and communities thrive, so Greenfire is pleased to sponsor the Friend of a Friend competition to support the continual growth of Central Wisconsin. Contact us today to discuss your next construction project. Learn more at greenfire.com. That's greenfire.com.
This is the true story.
True story.
Of two Wausonians
picked to host a business show
and have their lives taped
to find out what happens
when people stop living elsewhere
and start getting to Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show. Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
So ready for this. On the floor, you know that I'm coming back for more. Take it slow, I'm burning, baby, I'm down.
It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And that's Grok.
No, she's gone.
Okay. That was just the intro.
And here we are with Will Wright from Roastar.
Yeah, hey, Will.
I thought that clap was a sound effect, but you guys actually
clap. It's a real clap.
Yeah.
Feel free to join along. Will, you are the owner and the CEO of one of America's best coffee bag companies, and we'll get into that. But who's here with us right now as we start our tour?
With us is Nick Schmidt, and he is our coffee ambassador.
Wow. Okay, and Nick, what does that mean, being a coffee ambassador?
It means that I'm the designated coffee brewer for the office.
Okay.
First of all, I also travel around a little bit and kind of explore some trends in the coffee industry, what other people are using,
cool.
Go to coffee events.
Wow. But you guys don't actually make coffee or roast coffee here, even though it's called Roastar. What is it that you do here, Will? Can you describe it for Wassonians in America,
sure.
In the world?
We make custom printed coffee packaging and blank packaging for coffee roasters throughout North America. But we're really focused on small and medium sized roasters. So we don't make packaging for Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts. Our primary customer base is the small roaster that almost every town has, or in a bigger city, there'll be several or 10 or maybe even 20 coffee roasters, small to medium size. That's our customer base.
Which ones would we know? Like I saw Black Rifle Coffee Company, right?
So Black Rifle would be an example of a larger roaster. And we don't have many of those, but yes, they've been a customer of ours throughout the years. So for some of the bigger roasters, we'll do kind of specialty projects for them. Short run projects. So the ones that you may have heard of that are right in our back door are companies like The Pinery here in Wausau, or if you've been down to Chicago, Dark Matter Coffee.
Oh, very good. Legendary coffee.
Example.
Ruby, right?
Ruby is not a customer, though.
Ruby!
They're listening. You know,
hello.
We're just right up.
I just assumed.
We're right up the road.
Be a good fit.
It would be a good fit.
That makes sense.
We're open to a conversation.
Yeah, they have great coffee. I'm surprised you guys aren't working together.
Great coffee, great breakfast, great building.
I'm a big fan. So, Nick, you've got a bunch of coffee laid out here because obviously if you're making coffee bags for these small independent roasters throughout the United States and North America, you have to know the coffee lingo. And Nick, I presume that you know it better than anyone. You're the expert, right?
I do. I've got two coffees here. One is from Water Avenue Coffee in Portland.
Portland, okay.
The other is from Boon Boona Coffee in Seattle.
All right. We have listeners in both markets, actually. Seattle and Portland. Which one are we going to start with?
They might go best side by side. They're going to contrast a little bit. One is a little bit more chocolatey and cocoa-y. The other is a little bit more fruit forward.
Okay. Specifically, did not drink as much coffee this morning as I normally would. So I'm looking forward to this.
What?
What does it say?
Peanut butter.
Oh, okay. Let's get into it. Here we go. Everybody, Paul has a peanut allergy. Is that going to be an issue, Nick? It'll kill him. Seriously.
There's no actual peanuts in it.
Okay. But Paul will still not drink that. You still won't drink that, will you?
Drink it.
I know you well enough to
know
that anything, even with the name, even close to having peanut butter involved in it, he won't even stick his finger in it.
Now we just did a little bit of this, so taste the wig.
I will personally take one for the team here. Okay, so this is the one, the peanut butter one?
That's the Water Avenue from Portland.
Portland. Okay, here we go. A little taste of Portland. Here we go. Here we go.
Tastes just like Portland.
Mmm. Oh, yeah. I taste.
Taste that?
You know, the way to taste coffee is to slurp it. So you should hear it. Kind of like this.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, okay.
That's how you actually taste.
I've been doing it right the whole time. My wife always yells at me.
My kids will like that. Mmm. Okay, good. What about Sisu Sisu? What's the one from Ross Jurgle? Sisu Sisu, I think it's called?
Ross Jurgle.
Ross Jurgle?
Not heard of.
Okay, he's just coming online with it. Another client we're going to bring you.
Well, Greer Bakery sells it, if you ever want to check it out.
Okay, and it's roasted in the Wausau area?
Yep, and he is a Hollywood actor. He played Tom Brady, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
good slurp. Mm. Good slurping action.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that's got the peanut butter in it.
You can tell.
I can tell. Like notes of peanut butter, Paul.
I wouldn't even know what that tastes like, but I'd hate it.
I meant to ask, does it matter if I have a piece of juicy fruit gum in my mouth while I do this?
That'll affect it.
Oh, that will. Okay, I'm sorry. No, I actually don't, but it was very good. Before we get out of here, though, real quick, one more question before we get out of here, Nick or Will. What can you say about the caffeine in this? Because I mostly drink coffee for the caffeine. Which one has more caffeine in it?
That is a good question, and it's a big misconception.
Huh?
A lot of people think that light roast has more caffeine.
Yeah.
Because the imagination is that caffeine burns off as it's roasted darker.
Okay.
That's not true.
Huh?
What's true is that as coffee roasts, it gets lighter and it expands. So if you take one measuring cup of dark roast beans versus one cup of light roast beans, you'll have more beans in the light roast because it's denser. So when you brew it, you will have more caffeine in the cup, but the actual beans don't have more or less caffeine. Caffeine is stable at the roasting temperature. It doesn't degrade.
So, but the light roast, because it has more beans, will have more caffeine.
Because it's denser. So if you measure by volume versus, I always measure with a scale. So then you'll always get the same weight of coffee.
But weight for weight, apples to apples on weight, it has the same amount of caffeine.
Correct.
Gotcha. Oh, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. Busted.
Myth busted. Great show.
You should start a show.
All right, Will. So can we go out in the factory and kind of...
First step, though, we need glasses.
Okay.
Oh. So give...
Do these work?
Do readers work? Paul has readers.
I don't know if those...
Okay. Yeah,
okay. Thanks, Nick. Nice meeting you, Nick. We're going out into the factory.
Okay.
Now I got to worry about my coffee with this stupid peanut butter thing. First whiskey, now coffee. What next? It's taking over the world. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, you poor thing.
Maybe I ought to try that microdosing after all.
Yeah. All right, let's go out into the factory.
Let's go.
We have glasses that the last time I saw glasses like this, I think it was like blue blockers that my grandma used to wear.
I want to keep you safe out there.
Okay.
I'll call them large and dorky. I think he nailed it.
Here we go. Great office, yeah. Very cool. Here's a quote on the wall. It says, "When you're about to fall asleep, your BHAG is there by your bed, all hairy with glowing eyes. When you wake up, it's there. Good morning. I am your BHAG. I own your life." And that is a reference to a big, hairy, audacious goal. So, Will, what is Brostar's BHAG?
Our BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal, is to get 100 custom printed orders per day.
Okay, how many are we up to?
Right now, we're at about 30. So, we have a ways to go.
Okay, well, it wouldn't be a big, hairy, audacious goal if it was 99.
Right. Yeah, it's a big goal, and it will take us some time, but it gives us some direction and some organization around getting efficient. So that is really what is behind it. We need processes, systems, technologies to make us a more efficient company.
Is it more of a operations goal or more of a sales goal?
It's a bit of both. So I think it speaks to both sides of the company. As I mentioned before, Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts are not our customers. So a typical day for us does not look like four big orders coming in. It's smaller orders from all over the country, but that poses some challenges from an operations standpoint, having to touch those with different sets of hands or process artwork. So we need to get better at those things and really have that as a focus. So that's what the BHAG is all about.
And how many different customers do you have, roughly?
That's a good question. I'd say a couple thousand. I can't remember the exact number, but it's in the low thousands.
Okay. And what year did you start this business?
Started it really at the end of 2010, beginning of 2011, and launched it. It was more of an experiment. Thought that there was some potential with this market and needs that weren't being met for specialty coffee roasters.
How'd you stumble into that? You a coffee fan, or?
I guess a coffee fan, but I'm
snob.
I'm nothing like Nick, but was aware of what was happening in kind of the craft beer industry.
Oh, okay. Comparable to that. Interesting.
So somewhat the coffee market is parallel to that, but maybe a few years behind. So the beer industry was multiplying. It wasn't just Budweiser and Coors. When you step into a grocery store, there's hundreds of beer brands.
Yeah.
So the coffee market was kind of following that same trend. And so just kind of investigated that, went to trade shows, talked to coffee roasters, and found out there was a real need for suppliers for that industry. So that's kind of where the idea idea came from.
It was starting to boom. Now, how many employees are you up to?
We have about 110.
And started with what?
Started with just a couple, with four employees back in 2010.
Wow. Impressive growth, I'd say.
A real Wausaunian success story.
Yeah.
So where are we now?
We are just in the warehouse right now, walking over to our presses. So our first step in the process after we get the order is to print the material.
Okay.
So it's in roll form. We start with a roll, we print it, and we end with a roll before we go to the next step.
And then these are shipping all over the country.
Shipping all over the country, and including outside of the country. Oh, wow. We don't do a ton of international business, but yeah, the majority of our business is in the U.S.
Oh, it's got a pungent smell in here. This is where the printers are. Okay. These are the HP printers that you're printing on. So this is all digitally printed?
All digitally printed. So we're a little unique in that regard in that our printing presses are all digital. So we use HP Indigo presses.
How much do these bad boys go for a pop?
They're on the higher end of digital printing equipment.
Can you play Prices Right?
Yeah.
Paul, what do you peg it at?
That printer right there, all in,
whole unit,
$230,000.
Yeah, because it's like bigger than if you stacked up. I mean, it's probably 7 foot by 5 foot as a printer, I would say.
Just that part of it. Yeah, the whole line is 30 feet.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Plus. All right, so you'd go 250?
230.
230. Okay, I'm going to go 575.
Yeah, Ryan's a little closer.
Ooh, all right. Here I come, Bob Barker, for the Showcase Showdown. Okay.
Brand new. They're somewhere in the 750 range.
Wow. That is something. That is quite an investment.
They were cheaper back in the day when we got the business started, but of course things have changed over the last 14 years.
Okay. So you print the bags on here, and it's basically like a regular laser printer, or?
Yes. It's like a laser printer. So this technology, the company was called Indigo. It was purchased by HP and really commercialized and invested in by HP about 20 years ago. So digital printing has been around for a long time. Obviously, people have been using inkjet printers and laser printers at home, but to make it into the industrial world, that took some work. And this press was one of the first presses that really made that inroad into digital print within a manufacturing setting. So,
and how many bags can this thing pump out when it's printing?
This can print, we'll just say roughly 80 to 100 bags per minute.
Per minute,
which might sound kind of fast, but in comparison to analog printing or flexo printing or traditional printing, that's much slower. So a flexo press might print 500 to 1,000 bags a minute or more.
Wow.
So the real strength of digital printing is more in its flexibility, its ability to go from job to job to job without any setup. So its real strength is in short runs, which of course fits perfectly with the market that we're after.
Yeah, because with those flexo printers, you have to set them up, you have to do the
Printing plates on, there would be a setup.
Yeah.
Between each job, there's also a cost.
To make the plates,
Plates.
Yeah.
So there's both a setup cost and time, where we don't have any of that, of course, with digital printing.
It's a push of a button to switch it over to a different brand, right?
Yes, we can be printing and we can go on to the next job without even stopping, assuming that the material is the same.
Very cool. How many job openings do you have right now?
We have, good question, probably around 5 job openings.
Jeez.
We're looking for a marketing manager if you're out there. We have a couple press operator jobs open, customer service. So yeah, I think there's about 5 jobs.
Yeah, we have yet to talk to a business in Wausau that isn't looking for employees. Hi, what's your name, if you don't mind?
John.
John, nice to meet you. I'm Ryan. This is Paul. We're from the Wausau Business Show. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, nice.
How long have you worked at Roadstar?
Oh, just coming up on my year anniversary.
Oh, cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah. You like it?
Yeah.
This guy a pretty good boss?
Okay, so.
Yeah. He's got one of the better beards here. So
you got a great beard.
Shaving it off in the springtime. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what spring's for. New beginnings. Shaving the beard. All right. Nice to meet you.
So the last press we were looking at was a smaller format press. So this is really the same same technology. It's just a 30 inches wide. This gets us into larger bags, different markets. So really same technology, just on a larger scale.
Okay, so if that one can do 100 a minute, how many can this one do?
Actually, it's the same speed.
Oh, okay.
It can just make larger bags. So we, with this press, we're able to get into like 2 pound coffee bags, 5 pound coffee bags, larger stand up pouches. We can also run for smaller bags two across. So even though it goes the same speed, over the course of an hour, of course, it produces twice as much.
Yeah. And a lot of preventative maintenance going on here to keep these up and running?
Yeah, absolutely. These are both presses, but they're somewhat like a giant computer. So with this technology, a lot of the preventative maintenance is part of the system. So there are warnings that pop up. So that helps keep the process moving. But yes, there's a lot. The presses can be a little finicky.
Some sort of mixture between your typical maintenance professional and your IT professional works on that.
Right.
I noticed a Ford logo on one of those. That's just a magnet, though.
Somebody's embellishment.
Okay. Yeah.
Over here, we started a couple of years doing something a little different. Before the 1980s, coffee was packaged in coffee cans. So pretty much everyone is familiar with coffee cans in your basement that might hold nuts or bolts or whatever.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd bring that format back. So a couple of years ago, we bought a different type of digital printing unit that wasn't really designed for coffee cans. It was for a different application. And we began digitally printing coffee cans. So
what was it designed to print?
It was designed more to print tumblers. If you want to think of like customized Yetis, things like that.
Oh, wow. Cool. Okay.
So that's more what this piece of equipment is for. So we had to make some modifications to it to be able to use it for our purpose.
Yeah. So from a marketing standpoint, you're bringing back the nostalgia and you retrofitted something that was printing Yeti tumbler coffee mugs and you're using it for old school style tin coffee cans.
Yes, definitely. It gives the packaging a nostalgic feel.
Very cool.
It's more expensive, but it's great for, again, for special runs, special editions.
Yeah, we're happy to announce the Wausau Business Show Business Blend of coffee.
And you're producing our cans.
And you are producing the cans. Okay. So thank you very much for that. Let's applaud. Yes. That was not a sound effect.
So that was printed right here.
Very cool.
This prints much slower. As I mentioned, our presses that print coffee bags, maybe print in the 80 to 100 per minute.
Yeah.
This is much slower. So we're talking about maybe 2 to 3 cans per minute.
Oh, wow. Yeah, very slow.
Slower, yeah.
But it is amazing as we talk to manufacturers in the area, how frequently we hear, well, this was used in a different industry and we kind of retrofitted it to use in our industry and created innovation from doing that. So that, where is that unit from? Like what part of the country?
What part of the country? It's from the East Coast.
Okay.
We'll say that.
Okay, cool. And I would imagine that, you know, I know a lot of manufacturers in the area, no matter what they produce, are very proprietary and secretive about the way that they operate behind the scenes. They don't often like to give tours, and they certainly don't often like to do video or podcasts necessarily talking about their processes. Where are you on that?
This is true. We're pretty, I would say, fairly secretive about how we produce things. But with HP Indigo, we've been open about those presses since kind of the beginning of the business. So that's for public consumption.
Okay. All right. We get to the bottom of it, letting the cat out of the bag. Okay.
This is first step. These couple of rooms that we've walked through are press rooms. So climate controlled, humidity can affect our color performance and our quality performance. So the first step is in these first couple of rooms that has our printing presses.
What's the most challenging part of running this operation here?
Most challenging part. I would say, I mean, part of the challenge of business right now is the people issue. Obviously, this community has maybe a shortage of people. A lot of companies are hiring, so finding talent. The challenge of the business itself, I would say, is that a lot of our equipment, especially out here, we're outside of the press room now, where we take printed rolls and we form them into bags, is not designed or engineered for short run. So whereas our printing presses are for short run, small printing runs, the rest of our equipment is not designed for that. So having to figure out how to take equipment that is more designed for long runs and being able to be efficient at producing short runs.
Okay. From a sales standpoint, how do people find you?
So we have been since day one we're an e-commerce company. So
interesting.
We do our sales and marketing is all through our website. We have an e-commerce team. We program our own site and have a couple user experience employees. So we drive our traffic to our site. You can do all of your ordering and even art creation now. We're using, just launched an AI tool about 6 months ago. So if you don't have artwork, it's text to design. So you can type in a few words, it'll lay it out on a coffee bag. So we drive all of that experience, ordering and artwork creation through our website.
Wow, cool. And your background prior to starting this business was in e-com, is that right? Your undergrad?
Yeah, my graduate degree was in...
graduate degree? Yeah. Wow. He's got a master's degree, everybody.
Yep, if I may.
Which I think is a little bit of a dated degree now. I think that's just called business these days. But yes, it was in e-commerce. So
what was undergrad in?
Political science, which I don't use too much, and I definitely don't want to talk politics.
Same. What do you think about the Dropbox from Mayor Denny? No comment?
No comment. Okay.
And where did you go to undergrad and grad school, Will?
I went to Santa Clara University for undergrad, and then I went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee for my graduate degree.
Milwaukee. Okay, yeah. And where are we now? We're next to this Totani bag forming equipment here. Wow, these look like complex lines. You're not pressing a button to switch this over, are you?
There's a lot going on. That's what I kind of I mentioned before. That's the issue with this equipment. Not really designed for runs of 1,000 or 2,000, but more designed for runs of 100,000 or more. So yes, this is the second step of the process. Unwinding a printed roll of material and forming it, really using heat and pressure to form a coffee bag or a stand-up pouch in different styles and sizes.
Yeah, and now you're putting, now all these kind of coffee bags come as you go into the grocery store, you pick up the coffee bag, and you have that little tear strip, and then kind of a Ziploc to keep the coffee beans fresh. You're putting that Ziploc kind of zip in and onto the bag as it goes through this machine, right?
Right. You can see...
In line,
so you can kind of see that over there. There's a little line that looks like that's going into the machine.
Yeah.
That's like a Ziploc zipper, and it's heat sensitive, so we use heat and pressure to run that into the inside of the bag material.
Does it kind of get glued in
and
there?
It gets welded to the inside of the bag.
Welded?
I'll use that word. We're not applying glue. We're using heat, so our materials are heat sealable.
Kind of
so
melting it in there?
Welding.
All right, cool.
Welding sounds a little more of a process, but sealing.
You're running CBD bags there.
So coffee is our primary market, but we do make packaging for other markets that are similar. I mentioned before that there's a lot of cottage industries that I think really began going way back to the craft beer industry. So now there are specialty pet treat industries. There are specialty cannabis industries. There are specialty food industries. So we do a little bit of that for all of those markets, but coffee is our specialty coffee is really our main market.
Mm-hmm. And what's Planet Label? I see this gentleman over here wearing a Planet Label, and I saw a sign outside said Planet Label. What's that?
So we do have a separate website that really just focuses on blank labels and custom printed labels. That is a much smaller part of our business and not as market focused like Roastar is on coffee. So a little more of a general application for labels and stickers.
Okay. And can I play Prices Right one more time?
Sure.
Okay. You've got how many employees? You said 100 and how many?
Roughly 110.
Okay. 110. You got about, with 110 employees, I'm going to go with $25 million in revenue. Paul?
Ooh, yeah. As a Mini fan, I'm going to go just under that and say $20 million in revenue.
Will?
I am going to keep that a secret because we're a privately owned company.
North or south? Can you tell us north or south?
You're in the neighborhood.
Okay, all right. Tell us, is this a hog tank? Is this what they call? Is this what they call a hog tank?
Yes, this is not a fish tank.
Tell everybody what this fish tank looking thing does.
It looks like a fish tank, but this is a quality control
filled
measure.
With water. Okay.
You would not make it very far in the bag business if you made bags with holes in them.
Yeah.
But the holes that sometimes...
You wouldn't deliver fresh coffee beans, in other words. Yeah.
Oxygen is the enemy, or if you had a powdered product, obviously it would fall out of the bag.
Yeah.
So the holes that sometimes you can produce in the bag making process are much too small to see. So we put the bags under pressure, underwater, to see whether we see little bubbles coming out.
And you have to test a certain percentage of the bags as they go through?
Yes, we test a certain amount of bags for each box that we produce to make sure that we don't have any leakers.
Yeah, that can be a real pain in the ass. I know that. Finding where the leak's coming from, identifying the root cause. Wow, this is something. Okay, so this is where then they package up the finished product?
So we have different lines make different styles. So we just walked by some equipment that made stand-up pouches and then side gusset pouches. Back here, we make what's called a flat bottom pouch, which is...
stand-up?
It stands up well, but it's becoming a popular style in coffee and pet treats for whatever reason. It's a little more complicated to make, but yes. It's a bag that kind of looks like a box and stands up well.
Yeah, cool. Where is this shipping to? Connecticut.
This
okay.
Shipping, yeah, roaster out of Connecticut.
Cool. And you said you also do dog treats, right?
We do.
Dog and cat and pet food?
Yes. And even horse treats. So the whole animal kingdom we produce.
Okay, all right.
The horse treats are pretty big.
I would imagine.
What's your favorite part about Wausau, Will? Because you're a boomeranger, aren't you?
I am a boomeranger. Yeah. Grew up here and left for a few years to go to school and live a couple other places. My favorite part of Wausau, well, its location. It's a great spot to jump up north, spend a lot of time up there over to Minneapolis or Milwaukee. Granite Peak is great. I like to snowboard. The whole family uses that. Great schools, great place to grow up, lots of activities. Easy to get around, a convenient place to live. That wasn't so high on my list maybe when I was 25. But,
yeah, more of the bar scene.
More of the bar scene. Yeah, a little bit more of the bar scene.
Okay.
But I would guess it has a decent bar scene.
Yeah.
You're into that too.
Yeah.
So I guess a lot of reasons, not just one in particular.
What's good reasons, yeah.
Yeah, a whole litany. What's your favorite place to eat in town?
You would probably see me at Red Eye more often than not. So I'll go with Red Eye.
Okay.
But
good answer.
A lot of good restaurants, Chow. So it's not an exclusive list, but yeah, I would say probably I end up at Red Eye the most often.
Okay. And and this is affiliated with Wausau Coated Products as well, right? What's the association there? Because you're related to the family that started Wausau Coated, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention that connection. But your mom and dad founded, or your dad founded Wausau Coated? Is that how that works?
Yeah, my dad and a business partner, Lawrence Bulkach, founded Wausau Coated back in, I think, 1981.
They come from a family of entrepreneurs.
That's right.
Very cool.
But this is a separate company, but definitely Wausau Coated is still a family business, and it's owned by and ran by my oldest brother, Ben.
A little sibling rivalry?
Maybe sometimes.
Okay. Maybe here and there. Maybe here and there.
Okay. Well, yeah, can we see your office here as we come back into the headquarters?
Oh, boy, if I knew you were going to come ask to see my office, I would have started cleaning it about a month ago.
Wow, very organized.
What I personally work on...
Stand-up desk, everybody.
...is a lot of new products. So just thinking about where the company will go in the future. So I buy things and I have a lot of new products laying around. The problem with that idea is other people also have ideas for me.
Uh-huh.
So they're constantly dropping things off in my office. And I guess that's my excuse as to why you can barely walk around here.
It looks R&D focused. Yeah. Last question here, Will. One of the things in the coffee industry in the 80s was the jingle.
Right.
The best part of waking up
is Folgers in your cup.
Good, Paul. Good.
Thank you.
With these smaller roasteries or any roaster that does coffee these days, whatever happened to those jingles, do you know?
That is something I've never been asked before. Yeah. It's time to bring back the jingle. Yes.
Do you ever think about developing your own coffee brand that you sell of your coffee in your packaging? Or is that don't bite the hand that feeds you kind of deal?
It would be more don't bite the hand that feeds you. But I think we learn a lot from being exposed to our customers, so we can add value, especially to new roasters, entrepreneurs, to help them out with trends, what's going on. So I think the more we know, the more we can help our customer.
A low barrier to entry to anybody entering the market, and they can come and kind of dip their toe in the water with you guys and scale up, and then they're off and running.
If you want to get into coffee roasting, there's kind of small scale equipment that's just a couple $1,000s. There are schools that will teach you how to roast that just have a couple day program, and you would be on your way to at least an introduction into roasting. One of them is in Minneapolis. So it does have, just from buying equipment and learning how to roast, maybe you'd say a little bit of a low barrier. Now, getting good at being a roaster takes years. That's, I guess, one of the reasons why there maybe are a lot of roasters throughout the country, is you can get into it without spending a ton of money.
It is wild how big the coffee industry is. Is the coffee industry as large as the beer industry in the United States?
It's larger. Now, coffee is the second most consumed beverage behind water.
Wow.
But, you know, a lot of that coffee is the big brand Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, or maybe the coffee that you'd get at a gas station. So I don't know what the true size of the specialty coffee market is.
Okay, but totally, it's more than the beer industry. That's wild.
That's what I'm going to say right now. That might need a little fact checking, but since fact checking is
We don't do that.
Anymore,
we don't know how.
Whatever I want.
Yeah. And you do a lot of work with Gerald Mortensen, who's been a guest on the Wausau Business Show too, right? He does a lot of creative work for you?
Yes. Throughout the years, when we started and beyond, Gerald has helped us with our creative direction and a lot of ads. We take out full-page ads in Roast Magazine, which is a specialty coffee magazine. So he's helped our brand and our brand voice throughout the years. And we're actually going through a little rebranding experience right now. So Gerald did our creative brief.
Yeah. I mean, I would say from a B2B standpoint, you must have some of the best or the best marketing in your industry for what you do, I would assume.
I think we do.
Yeah, leading question. Last but not least, what's your thoughts on widespread panic? It seems to be we're in your office here. You've got a widespread panic poster up here, Will. You must be a big fan. Is that your favorite band?
Panic fan. It's the best rock and roll band in the history I was going to say the country, but I'll say the world.
Okay,
decisive. Yeah.
They are one of those bands that just goes on and on and on and on and on. I love their studio albums. And Will, are you kind of the primary production manager, or do you kind of yield that to somebody else, or how does that work?
Absolutely not. I'm not the primary production planner. Okay, We'd be in lots of trouble. So I focus more on R&D, product innovation, but we have a general manager, a production manager that makes sure we are shipping on time and in just a few days.
Very cool. And how often are you walking the floor?
I just get out there once a day. Usually during the football season, maybe a little more, especially after a Viking victory.
Oh, yes. We forgot to mention that Will is a Viking fan. We'll conclude there.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Will Reif, everybody.
Yeah, Will.
Roastar.
Cool place.
Thanks for coming on, Will.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Business Show.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution execution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
It's the Wausau Business Show, and be amazing. It's an amazing organization. Let's talk to Cheryl Gaetsch.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hi.
Organization,
501c3.
Yes.
A nonprofit. So your money goes to a good cause at the Be Amazing organization, beamazingday.com. Is it relatively new?
Actually, we got our start in May of 2017, following a tragedy in our community where the lives of four innocent victims were lost. Mm. And
was that the Wyland Day?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it was born out of that tragedy.
Yes.
Okay.
And following that, the then police chief, Ben Bliven, had a lengthy article in the Wausau Daily Herald making a plea to everyone in the community to move forward from that event, not let it drag our community down, but to move forward in positive ways.
Yeah.
And at the end of every paragraph, he asked that we move forward and be amazing.
Mm. Okay.
And that got me thinking as a fifth grade teacher. At the time, Anna Weiland was in my class.
Yeah.
I knew that I would need to do something to help my class heal.
Yeah. We went to school with the Weilands, so we know okay. them. That tragedy happened in March, did
mm-hmm.
it not?
Yeah. It did. So my idea was to talk to my class about what it meant to be amazing, take Ben's idea.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of brainstorming, and they decided that being amazing meant helping others. And so then we talked about
fifth graders. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we snuck in little times because you have to cover your curriculum, talking about who needs our help. And they ended up, they had voice and choice. They had a whole list of people that they felt in our community needed our help. They formed groups based on who they themselves wanted to help. And then they worked on designing a project to help that group. So we ended up with 7 groups for the community with my class of 23 kids. And they worked when we could squeeze it in for that last quarter of the year to complete projects.
Okay.
Seeing them at the end of that year presenting projects that they had thought of and designed was like such a sense of pride for them. It was probably, you know, one of the most important things they had done that entire school year.
Or that they may do in their life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How soon after the tragedy did you start doing this?
Immediately.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they didn't have an outlet. And I can't imagine being a teacher looking into all these students' faces the days after that horrible event happened and having to kind of walk them through the reality of life in that regard.
It was the hardest time of my career.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's an amazing program. And now Be Amazing has evolved. I know a little bit about it because my daughter was in Be Amazing Rib Mountain Elementary. She's now in third grade and she loved it, had great things. She has the shirt and she wears it proudly. They focus on being amazing and I think kind of creating a situation or environment where everyone can be amazing. And I think that's kind of the idea. Am I wrong? Where everyone can be amazing, right?
That's right.
That's the idea.
No matter the age.
Right.
No matter the age. And so we currently have 15 school-based clubs throughout the Wausau and DC Everest District. It's an environment where we hope that the kids are empowered and inspired and realize that they have the power to be amazing mm-hmm. and do great things to help people in our community. As these projects were going on with my class, people in the community were hearing about it. Other teachers in other schools, the pastor at the church, the kids were going home talking about it with their parents. And so there started to be some conversations about could this be more than just these 23 kids in Mrs. Gaetsch's fifth grade class. And so we had a meeting in May that year with a group of adults at Mount Olive Church. And we decided as a group at that time, yes, let's investigate this and let's try and do something about it. And so we got connected with the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, created a fund through them that people could donate to. And of course, as word spread, there was some emotion in our community tied to the event. Yeah. And I think...
Still is.
Yes. And that led to a lot of donations for us to then continue with more clubs forming the next school year and enabling us as an organization then to distribute funding to help cover the costs.
Wow, what a good platform to expose them to philanthropic, you know, endeavors and giving back to their communities. I'm sure that that will change their perspective on things for their life.
Right.
And then is it a Be Amazing week or I see this Be Amazing day? How does that work?
So our biggest fundraiser of the year, this year will be our 8th annual Be Amazing Dine Out and Shop Around. It'll be on March 13th, which is a Thursday. And we have 77 locations that have signed on as either participants for that day to donate a percentage of their sales or as a sponsor of that day.
So that always happens once a year. Mm-hmm. And then Be Amazing, the program, happens throughout the year.
Yes. And anybody can apply.
Well, Cheryl, it's March 13th, Thursday. So I would recommend people go to the website, beamazingday.com, to see which sponsors they can go to that are supporting this effort. And we wish you all the best in the many years to come. And thank you for putting a positive spin on a tragedy that happened in our community.
And keeping a focus on being kind and being amazing, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Great work.
Great program.
I appreciate the opportunity. And can I throw in too, we're always looking for volunteers and board members. So if anybody is interested, please reach out.
Thanks, Absolutely. Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Cheryl Gage, president and founder of the Be Amazing Day organization. Cheryl, thanks for stopping by the Wausau Business Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, great stuff. Who's coming up on the show next week, Paul?
Oh, next week we're going to have Ed Bagpipes on the show. That's what we call him.
Oh, Eddie Bagpipes. Yeah. It's the St. Patrick's Day special next week on the Wausau Business Show. And until then, from high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
I'm Grok, your AI co-host.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end!
Stay awesome, Wausau.
California's sober on the highway one. Over on the shoulder, thought I saw some fun. Looking for a
Business Show Transmission. Allrights reserviert 2025.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.